Health and Wellbeing with Russell Setright.
Okay, it's time to help you with your health this morning with Australia's best-known naturopath, Russell Setright, who joins us on the program every Tuesday morning and, of course, every Sunday taking your calls. G'day, Russell.
How you going, Clinton? Good morning.
I'm good. Lots to talk about. I wanted to firstly talk about fat, because we're always told not to eat fat, but apparently eating some fat can be good for your brain.
Yeah, well, this is a study at Queensland University, and they were saying, and they did some work on saturated fat, which is the fat you get out of meat and animal products. That's where it comes from, compared to the unsaturated fats that you get out of olive oils and other types of foods. And they found that the saturated fats had a significant influence in helping with brain function, particularly with new memories. In other words, you meet someone and you still remember their name instead of forgetting who you say, hey, gum, the old mate up the road, you know.
We need that, yes.
We do. So, look, I looked into it and, of course, that doesn't outweigh the Mediterranean diet, which is not high in saturated fats. It's high in monounsaturated fats like olive oil. And that does give good memory because they looked at the studies comparing dementia with the average American diets and so on, and longevity. So, but adding a little bit of the extra fats that you get from the saturated fats, which is what your mum and my grandmother and mother would have done, because they used to have a dripping jar under the sink. I don't know if you remember those things, Clinton, at all.
I'd certainly been told about them by grandparents, but we didn't have them in my place.
No, but of course what they did, they couldn't afford to go out and buy oils and there wasn't any. So they collected the fat and reused that. And, you know, really, my grandmother did that. She passed away at an early age of 96. My auntie, 90. My father, 90. And they would have had all those things. So, but they also had fresh food. There was no junk food. There was no processed food. So I know that my mother used to grow the veggies. They had a choco vine, which is stuff I hate. I can't even stand chocos. But anyhow, they grew all these things. So I think the combination of fresh foods, a little bit of animal fat, your monounsaturated fats like olive oil and palm oil to get those saturated fats, this is something that is going to boost memory according to the study. And I think it's worthwhile re-looking because we've been saying, oh, that's bad, you shouldn't have it. And we did the same thing with eggs. You shouldn't have lots of eggs. Your cholesterol goes up, you increase the risk of heart disease. And, of course, that wasn't true. When they did the studies again, they found that you can have 6 or 7 eggs a week and not a problem at all. So you've got to look at who made those studies, and they were financed by the people who make anti-cholesterol drugs.
Yeah. Whoops. Well, again, and everything in moderation. I'm sure if you're eating 10 eggs a day, it's not going to be great.
You're going to have
you.
A problem because the body can't compensate for that amount. So we're not saying eat lots of fat, but I think a little bit in there is giving a little bit of all the fats, and it's essential for the brain. The brain is made up of fat. So, and this is an Australian study. It's a good study, and I think we've got to re-look at things in moderation, in balance. So still, don't eat the sugar, don't eat the artificially sweetened, don't eat junk food, don't eat highly processed food, lots of fresh fruit and veggies, fish, nuts, olive oil, and a little bit of fat. So having an egg or a bit of lean steak every now and then, excellent.
Now, this is an interesting study. A report from Washington State University has found that it's good to live near green spaces, whether it's the bush, the forest, a park, or just an outdoor area.
Well, I don't think there's anything new about that, really. But yes, they've done a study. But if I said to you, Clinton, what I want you to do, we're going to go and have a look at something, sit down and examine what we think is pleasant. And what we're looking over is a bit of burnt-out bush from an old bushfire, a couple of rocks and a bit of desert in the background. Are you really going to feel comfortable with that? Or if I take you to the ocean side and you look over the green hills of, say, Nowra, with those rolling green slopes and then the blue ocean in the background, which is going to be more comforting to you?
Yeah, of course, the blue ocean.
Yeah, because it indicates food, water, plenty, comfort, place you can camp and you know you're going to be surviving. So going into those type of environments, they've just done a new study on it saying that it helps with stress. Well, one of the stresses we have, and we're going to eat tomorrow, and we're going to have somewhere to sleep. Is there plenty of water available? We're lucky we can turn on taps, but if we go backwards in time, you know, you had to dig it out of the ground, you had a well, and you dipped the bucket in it and carried mum, because women did all that hard work, carried into the house, and then you had a drink. So our brains are processed to look for green and blues, because that's where you're going to have something to survive with and be comfortable with.
That makes sense. So it really goes back to the essence of what makes us a human being. It was all about finding life source, whether that's food or nature that allows us to breathe clean air.
It does. They didn't mention that in this study, but it's a common sense thing, and other studies have looked at it. What they did in this was just prove if you get someone, take them out of their dull existence of a 39-story complex apartment of where they are, and stick them where they're overlooking a nice ocean and greenery and a bit of seagulls floating around, they're going to feel fairly comfortable and relax a bit. I think I would too.
Yeah, very good advice. And some more research on the links between cancer and stress.
Yeah, well, this one is pretty good, really, because they've worked out and looking at it very closely at some of the hormones that are released under stress. And they're finding that stress increases the risk of a cancer metastasizing. That means spreading around the body. Now, this is good research on this, and it backs up. I remember many years ago, a friend of mine that was from the John Bostel University of Naturopathic Medicine over in the States did a study on psychoimmunology, and he was looking at medical students that were stressed because they were coming up to big exams, and they looked at magnifying images of the actions of the stress has in the body with the immune system, and they found that the immune system was virtually stressed out and didn't function as well when they were stressed. When they were found that they passed their exams and everything was happy, their immune system was also functioning better. So if you're going to be stressed, it means that your immune system is not going to pick up cancer cells as well. And if you have cancer, there's a chance that that's going to increase the risk of it spreading. Now, it makes sense. This has proven it in one sense, and other studies have also proven that. So it backs up a lot of these things that Olivia Newton-John had when she had that women's clinic for breast cancer and so on, where they gave them confidence and feeling good, and it improved their quality of life and extended their length of life. I think it's a very important thing that we look at de-stressing and look at happiness and quality, because that's going to help our immune system function a lot better and reduce our risk of developing cancer, that's been shown, and reduce our risk of if you have cancer, along with good medical management as well. We're not saying it should replace anything, but it should go along with it. And, of course, Patch Adams brought that into children with the laughing doctor and the clown suits and so on. So I think we've got it. Maybe we don't have a clown come in the door. I'm a bit scared of them, so yeah. We won't have those.
It's been some scary movies.
Yeah.
Well, do you have the secret to eternal happiness? I'm sure it's not in a pill. I know that.
No, it's not, but we should all be looking for it, shouldn't we?
We certainly should. Hey, just before you go, we were talking off air about how people in my position, and also our listeners who are up very late at night, handle sleep. And I have started experimenting. That sounds a little ominous, but I've started using valerian. And I found when I used it on the weekend, I actually did probably have a better sleep.
Yes. Well, valerian's been around. It was probably one of the oldest sleep chemicals. It's been used for hundreds of years. It was actually used in the First World War to help people, as they call them, bomb happy. You know, can't blame someone in the trenches over in France there being a bit upset with things exploding around them. And they found that helped them cope and get to sleep more easily, because back then they didn't have really good sleeping tablets apart from things like morphine, which is not a good idea. So it's got a good history of medical research. It was mainstream medicine. It's mainly used in with herbalists and through your pharmacy now. But the evidence is rock solid that it does help. Say about 70% of people. I found it doesn't help everyone, but neither does anything. But 70% of people, it can help them get a good night's sleep, and it's non-addictive, so it's worthwhile. One of the other ones I've mentioned before is passion flower. If you've got a bit of a racing mind, and what gets me is this, the studies in passion flower were done in Germany where they wanted to get a supplement that they give post-operative that wasn't going to interfere too much with the anaesthetic, that was going to help people calm down because they were very fearful of the operation. They've got to wait a few hours before they have it. And they found passion flower worked better than most of the drugs they had. And yet, you speak to a lot of doctors and they go, what's that? You know, it worries me a little bit that the evidence that's there in clinical trials, in mainstream medical literature, is not passed along to everybody. So here we go, we're passing some along.
Well, I'll check out the passion flower as well, because I think probably like a lot of people who may have a bit of trouble sleeping, I don't have massive problems sleeping, but when I work these hours, I do, because you've got to sleep in the daytime. But one of the issues I do have, you mentioned your mind racing, I find it hard to switch off, and a lot of people...
I have the same problem, and I've used it occasionally, and I've found it helpful.
I will check it out. Thank you, Russell. We'll talk soon.
My pleasure. Thank you very much, Ben. You have a good morning.
Our naturopath, Russell Setright.